This is the Hub Podcast with Louise Clark.
Absolutely thrilled to be having a chat with Gracie Collier. Of course, you are owner of Spice Vintage. Thank you so much for taking the time to have a chat to me here on the Hub on iRadio.
I'm delighted. Thank you so much for having me.
Not at all. Now, I suppose we're always mad about, you know, sustainable fashion and trying to do our bit for the environment. And as well as that, looking stylish as well. And from what I can see on Spice Vintage, we're definitely not going to have any bother there at all. Will you tell me a little bit about Spice Vintage? Where did the idea come from?
God, how long do you have? I'll keep it short, as short as I can. But basically, I worked in marketing for a couple of years, absolutely hated it. And always on the side, I was selling clothes at markets and I was always kind of doing it, never thought I'd do it for a living. Mm-hmm. So I quit my last marketing job and I just moved down to West Cork and I took a bit of time. And I tell you what, it was actually one of my mum's friends who was like, "You'd be great. You should open a vintage shop. Like, you'd be amazing at it." So I was like, "Oh my God, you know what? I actually would." So then I just literally, it was like she basically just shed light on something a part of myself I didn't even know was, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So she ended up shedding the light and I ended up getting a pop-up shop space in Clonakilty back in 2018, and I did it for 6 months and it flew and the social media started to grow really fast. And then I was like, right, I want to move on to a bigger shop space. So I moved to Limerick and I did the shop there in Limerick for 3 years. That was amazing. And then it really started to pick up and then COVID happened. Mm-hmm. And then from there I moved online and I remember I made the website live the first time and it sold out in 10 minutes.
Amazing.
And it's been like that ever since, Louise. Honestly, it's crazy. It's been like that for, geez, I think we're going into year four as an online business, I think. And yeah, it's just gone from strength to strength. It's amazing, you know. It's great. People absolutely love it.
Absolutely.
Just look, like, vintage clothing and sustainability is just so popular, you know.
It is, because even I was out with a group of my friends last weekend and I'm always like, I actually think if I was somebody who was collecting stamps, I kind of collect clothes and I have so many sparkly dresses and bright colours and everything, and a lot of the time I'm like, I don't know where I'm going to wear them, but I mean, I just love collecting bits and pieces. But as well as that, you know, when you go somewhere new and you get to go and have a look in a vintage shop and that kind of thing. But if people were to pare it back, you know, what actually is vintage? What would you see as being vintage?
So I'll tell you what, and I don't know if you're in your 30s like myself, but I suppose some of our clothes from our childhood now would be considered to be vintage.
Yeah.
You know, the rule of thumb is 20 years.
Okay.
And it's vintage. So yeah, we'd be made feel very old now. But yeah, like, if something is 20 years or older, then it's considered vintage. That's how you know.
Oh, brilliant.
Basically. Yeah, that's the rule of it. And there's certain ways of telling as well, like certain eras have very distinctive styles, and you've telltale features on garments that like would tell you what era it's from. And there's also little, you know, like hints on tags and stuff, like, mm-hmm. if you see made in the USA on a tag, that means that like it was made like before the 80s, because as soon as the 80s came in, all of the clothes that were manufactured in the US, they were they just stopped making clothes in the US basically, and they outsourced everything to cheaper manufacturers, you know yourself, like India and China. I suppose that was kind of really the birth of fast fashion, really, was because everything was made cheaper and faster, and like they took less care making. That's kind of, the USA was the first to do it, you know. Mm-hmm. And if you see that on a label on your vintage clothing, then you know it's before the 80s.
Brilliant.
Just those kind of little things.
Yeah, and I mean, like, we kind of live in a society now where, you know, I mean, clothing is definitely at our fingertips. Like, I mean, up until I kind of became a little bit, probably after COVID, since I kind of became a little bit more educated on where my clothes come from. I mean, I love buying some new stuff, but I'd be a little bit more conscious now of what I'm kind of bringing into my home. And if I can, you know, I love the likes of Depop, and then even one of my my best friend's lives in the north, so I go on Vinted and then I use her address to get it sent to her. And then anytime she comes down to me, she's like, how many packages am I bringing for you? But I mean, it's just nice to kind of be a little bit more sustainable and thinking about where your clothes comes from. Where, what do you think about the likes of, you know, mass production and the likes of, you know, the conversation around Shein has been massive the last couple of years.
Like, to be honest, Louise, what you've said there is exactly what, you know, look, I've been at this like 7 years now. I've been asked to speak at loads of things and go to universities and always speaking about sustainability. And what it, literally what it boils down to is exactly what you just said, which is if we could all just become a little bit more conscious, that's actually enough. You know, to think before we buy. And I just really enjoyed what you said, because I feel like people who are advocates for sustainability, by being too intense, too preachy, it's also very negative. A lot of people switch off, you know, that actually doesn't help. It doesn't actually contribute to this overall, like this overarching thing of like, we all just need to just slow down. Like, do the opposite of fast fashion, just like slow down, become more conscious, try harder, because it is effort. You know yourself, like crawling through Depop. Like, but it's about rewiring how we view that, you know, like, so let's say you're trawling through Depop, you find something and there's just that added kick, you know, and there's just that added element of like, oh, you know, I got a bargain because it's going to be cheap as well. Obviously depending as well, but you know what I mean, it's like, it's about rewiring how we view consumerism around clothing. And like, I suppose to go back to what you said about Shein and everything, like, to be honest, all that stuff, I'm just like, we should all just know to stay away from. Like, the way that I, like, what I always said when I was doing these talks and stuff like that, like, it needs to become a social taboo. That's how I, if people were like, Gracie, what would you suggest now for us to move forward and change the narrative? I'd be like, well, it needs to be socially unacceptable. That's, that's, you know, to be, the way I see the future going, hopefully, is that, you know, you're at pre-drinks with your friends and someone said, a girl goes, oh, I love your dress, where'd you get it? And she goes, Pretty Little Thing. They go, ooh, really? You know, that, and as Irish people as well, because I've thought about it loads, and I really feel like this is the only way. It's like Catholic guilt, you know? It's the same kind of technique. It's about, I don't want people to feel bad, you know, but it just that heightened awareness needs to be there, you know, and it kind of just needs to be a little bit more socially unacceptable to be constantly buying fast fashion, you know? And I think it's gotten way better. And I'm fed up people being negative about it. I actually feel really hopeful. I feel like it's gotten way better. I feel like it's become way more accessible. And yeah, it'll only grow, I think. It's not going to become not popular. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because I think, you know, we all love, if you've got any interest in fashion at all, like, I think there's, you're kind of struggling a little bit, because like, I follow lots of people who, you know, put outfits together and, you know, I did a 30, well, I actually didn't even finish it, but I started doing a 30 days of, you know, re-wearing what's in my wardrobe. You know, people were like, oh my God, where'd you get that? And I was like, it's literally in my wardrobe for the last 2 years. And I used to be somebody like that who, like, during COVID, I tried to complete Shein, and I thought I needed all these t-shirts and tops and everything, and like, I did buy stuff. Now they are still in my wardrobe, but then I think, you know, as we kind of learned more about fast fashion and about how, you know, the workers were treated in Shein and all of that kind of stuff, and people will always say, oh, but sure, I can't afford something that is, you know, sustainable, or I can't afford these big brands where the clothes are made in Spain or Portugal, or, you know, they're a little bit more sustainable. But at the same time, I think if you take the time to go through the likes of Depop or go to a vintage shop like yourselves, you know, you turn it into a bit of you know, an event. You know, you're looking for something that's going to be sustainable, that you're going to have in your wardrobe, and that it's not going to fall apart after a couple of wears. I think we need to be more conscious that just because you see somebody who's of influence putting together this outfit, you don't necessarily need to go to the fast fashion brands to make it work. You can actually be stylish and wear a trend with stuff that you might already have in your wardrobe.
Exactly. I completely agree with everything you've said there. Like, I really think that you know, I said this recently in a reel, that like this influencer culture is scares me. Mm-hmm. Like I see girls walking around and they're all carbon copies of each other from head to toe. I'm like, well, you follow Molly May anyway, that's definite, you know. And they just have these generic, like these carbon copy, you know, straight from affiliate links off influencers outfits. And it's what makes me sad is that it's like, you know, that if you just went to a charity shop and just had a look around, you might find something similar, grand, that's fine. But you also might find something that you like that you didn't even, you don't even know why. Mm-hmm. And that's what I like about Tristan and about, you know, purchasing secondhand or like forcing yourself to just make an effort, basically. But it also means that you never know what will cross your path. You never know what you might see that you might be drawn to. And I suppose what it encourages overall is like this authenticity and style.
Yeah.
And I really feel like Instagram sucked the life out of that. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, I often see girls, you know, they'll say to me, or when I have pop-up shops now, you know, there was a girl at the pop shop and she tried on this cardigan. I'll never forget her. She tried on a cardigan and had a horse on the back of it. And I remember she said to a friend, because I was within earshot, she said, I don't know why I like this. I just do.
Yeah.
And I went straight over to her and I said, you know what you've just said there? That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
You're not following a trend. You're not carbon copies of influencers. I think people are light about it, but I actually don't think it's light at all. I think it all connects to like this overarching like lack of authenticity, people having like identity crises and people not knowing who they are, what they want to pursue in life. Like, look, people might say, geez, you're being awful deep about it, but I kind of am deep. But, you know, I think it kind of influencer culture and them feeding us outfits is actually feeding into other areas of our lives more than we would realise. And the way to authentically, in my eyes, one of the easiest ways to come back to yourself is shopping secondhand. I know people be like, what? But if you actually think about it, you know, like there's that effort, there's that connection to like who you are, what you like, because there's nothing feeding you here. You know, when you're in a charity shop, there's no advertisements going on, none of that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like pure, genuine, what you see, what you like, one of one. That's another thing about the secondhand shopping, you know? I think the more people that engage with it, like, you're actually going to be happier and you'll also get more compliments on the stuff that you buy at secondhand. You will.
Like, definitely, because I think there's a bit of joy where, you know, I suppose you put something on that you really love, that you've spent the time looking at, and like I love
exactly,
you know, there's a sustainable brand that I think all of the clothes is made in, it's made in Spain, and it's called Scampin' Dude, and I swear I'm like a walking advertisement for them, but I've spent you know, I've got loads
I've
of dresses.
I've never heard them. I need to look them up.
You do.
I've never heard
like,
them.
They're really bright, and they've got like stars, leopard print, you know, light bolts, all that kind of stuff. And I swear, every time I go to work, I'm wearing something. I'm even wearing one of their tops right now. But I mean,
oh, no way.
Yeah. And like, I mean, I wear all the dresses all the time. I wear the tops all the time. And I mean, I have them in my wardrobe for like probably the last 5 or 6 years. But the lady set it up because in the back of the tags, it says a superhero has your back. So she decided she'd set up this brand because she herself had gone through, you know, she had a brain tumor and she came out the other end and she wanted to create children's clothes that kind of, you know, gave people a little bit of power and a little bit of safety. And then obviously now, like, there's a huge amount of women who follow the brand. But even on the tags, it's like, you know, I think they've won an award now for being sustainable and, you know, making sure that there's X amount of water used when they're making the clothes and all of this kind of stuff. But I mean, it's kind of nice to know that when you do invest in a piece of clothing like that, that you're not just going with the fast fashion trend. Like, there's somebody behind it that has thought about the environment. They've thought about, you know, who's going to be having it, how long it's going to last, and all of that kind of stuff. And I think it's similar for yourself, because I'm sure you go to lots of places to source all of the vintage clothes. And when people do buy something, you know it's going to be in their wardrobe for a good few years to come, be it a pair of jeans or a shirt or a jumper or whatever it is.
Yeah, no, definitely. That is kind of the beauty of vintage as well. And I suppose with all the pieces that I've sold over the years, like, they'll go back into circulation again. Like, they're very resellable as well. But like, if you buy a flimsy old halter top off Boohoo, sure, who's going to want to buy that?
Yeah.
Do you know
yeah.
what I mean? So what you're actually doing is you're investing in pieces that actually have resale value also. That's what people don't think about. Do you know what I mean? When they buy vintage, it's like, because you bought something that's like original, like unique, the print is unique or whatever, that's going to stand out way more when you pop that up on Depop to resell it again, rather than the flimsy, you know, the bits that yep. for years, like people used to buy years ago. And it's like, you're never going to resell like a little flimsy cami jersey dress. Like, it's not special. So yeah. if you buy stuff that has a bit of a story and it's special and it's a bit unique looking, you have more of a chance of putting it back into the circular economy again, you know?
Yeah, it makes so much sense.
Yeah, like, it's an element of it people don't think about, but it's actually like, you know, if you buy it, you can actually resell it fairly easy again.
Yeah.
And put it back in again, you know? And then it gets another chance again. Which is great.
It definitely does. Gracie, I knew this would happen because we get so engrossed in having the chats that we'd nearly go out of time. But I'm definitely going to have to have you back again. And I'll open it up that if people are afraid to go vintage shopping, I mean, look, hopefully Gracie will come back on and have a chat to us again and give us some tips and tricks on, you know, how to start buying vintage if you want to wean yourself off the fast fashion. If people want to follow you, if they want to check out your business, where is the best place to go?
Yes, so my main platform will be Instagram. So it's spice_vintage on Instagram, and then my website is in the bio.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. Gracie, it's been such a pleasure having a chat to you. I look forward to the next time we're going to chat as well, because I'd say we could talk for Ireland about this.
Honestly. Thank
absolutely.
You so much,
not at all. Thank you. And thanks so much for talking to me.
Thank you.
The Hub Podcast with Louise Clark.